Shalom, good morning. This is Radio Shalom coming to you through Planet 104.6 FM. Shalom, Herschel and Lynn
Lorcan. Shalom. The fabulous Lynn Lorcan, yes.
Herschel.
No, I'm less fabulous. You're the fabulous.
They're each other's publicity officers. So welcome back to Herschel and Lynn.
This is our third in a series of programs, isn't it, about touring with the Jews Brothers Band, which is our
band.
Was
it the second?
Band.
Okay, so tell us. Significant
moments. Well, where did we leave off on the
We left off in Chicago.
That's right.
We were about
our first tour.
That was our last, the last gigs of the tour of the 2002. We flew up to Chicago, and then we came home.
We did come home eventually.
So we're going to now go to some of the other European tours, and we're going to end with a New Zealand tour.
Okay, yeah. So where are we flying to now?
Now we're doing our UK Jews Brothers Band tour, 2004. some of the interesting experiences of that tour.
So which was your main stop? Was in London?
Yes, we flew into London, and we went back and played at the Spitz again and Momo's, which had been successful gigs for us in 2002. So that was fun to go back to the Spitz, yeah, which is in the Spitalfields Market upstairs, and it's...
Yeah, it was a very good club. I wonder if they're still... I think I heard that they're no longer there, but in any case... They had their day.
And I saw this fantastic jacket in a shop that was just underneath where the club was in the building, and it's right by the market. There's upstairs is the club, and downstairs it had, there's a few shops. So I saw this amazing jacket and sort of in the window, and it was striped, you know, sort of Joseph in this coat of many colours. It was that kind of jacket, but very... I saw, wow, that's amazing. So I couldn't go in and try it on because we had to do our sound check at that stage. So somehow I managed to nip down after the sound check before we went wherever we were going next to have our dinner or something. And I bought this jacket in 5 minutes.
Fantastic jacket.
And it was a fantastic jacket. And it was
without trying it on.
Yes, I tried it on.
Right.
And it was called Fake London or something, and it's all written backwards. And I found out later that this was like a top trendy label at the time.
So I was
then able to wear it for the rest of the tour.
The only reason the Jews Brothers Band tours is so Link can find clothes all over the world. That's really
But I have to do it in between the sound check and something. Run out. You know, if I've seen something in a window, sometimes it doesn't work out. I'm on the van going, oh no, I didn't get to that shop.
So we're going to be playing a track, aren't we, about... Were we going to start with
We're going to talk about driving around London.
Yes.
And then play the track, okay.
No, we talk about, should we start with Happy Feet?
Oh, well, yeah, okay.
So my feet were very happy coming out of that shop with my jacket. And so we're now going to do this, play the track, Happy Feet.
Ceiling. Put your foot in.
That song, by the way, was written by, we didn't write that one. Most of our material we do write, or a lot of them. But that was written by a famous Italian singer-songwriter. His name is Paolo.
Piano player.
And piano player. Paolo Conti is his name. And he's still around. He's a fantastic performer. And we put the English words, because he, of course, writes in Italian. So those were our
He writes in Italian with a little bit of English. Not always correct his English, but sort of interesting things. He uses things
like happy
fish and chips or whatever, you know, whatever it might be. This one, Happy Feet. He actually called it Happy Feet.
So that's our latest CD. But anyway, we're back on our tour now. We were telling about our tour in 2004.
We were, UK.
You're talking about London.
And we were in London, and we were being driven. Our driver for that tour was someone who had driven, was the driver for the Yardbirds. Because Peter, our bass player, he's from London, so he knows all these interesting people there. So he managed to secure his services as our driver. However, there was one occasion when he wasn't able to drive us, and we were still in London, and he'd assigned the Juice Brothers band to his sort of assistant or friend of his called Phil, this crazy London guy, young guy. And we were in his white sort of van thing that he had, or whatever it was, that he some kind of station wagon.
Van.
Was it the van? Yeah. And he had a GPS, which he got going, and we, this woman's voice was coming from the front of the van saying, turn right, and the da-da-da.
We'd never heard
because we didn't have them in New Zealand, and of course we were absolutely intrigued by this. I mean, we really joined. This guy was a very fast driver, and he was hurtling around with this woman, the woman with the,
turn left strong, at the next, turn right.
We had to reroute because he was so crazy and driving through the London traffic with us. So it was interesting because we had two or three people that had sort of joined the tour for a while that were, our hosts in London, a Jewish couple, that the wife had joined the tour for part of this, of what we're doing, because I think we were on our way out to, I can't remember, the Water Festival in Hampshire. And she said, I'd like to come for that. And so she was hurtling around with us as well. So I remember sort of being thrown to the floor at one stage. Meanwhile, this cultured English accent was telling us which way to go. So we went to Hebden Bridge on that tour.
Yeah,
we went to
Stockton on Teaser, was it?
We went to Nottingham. I can't remember all the different places.
Cardiff.
Oh, yes, Cardiff. Describe Neil, our saxophone player, had come all the way from Australia, and he'd had difficulty getting out of Australia. He had to leave at the last minute because one of his children was ill or whatever. Well, I can't remember the reason, but he arrived at the very, very last minute, and he came to Stockton, and we were in the tent.
That was our first one.
We were in the tent, this big tent, waiting to perform, and there was hardly anyone in the audience because, as it turned out, this festival was really a street festival, and we were one of the few bands that wasn't on the street, and so no one had come to our gig. So in this great big huge tent, and so Neil had to be picked up the station, and the person from the festival couldn't find him, and they came back.
So we started playing without him.
It was terrible. We were waiting. Where's Neil? We'll start playing without him. Then we saw this person coming in the back. He had one of those huge striped bags, like the gypsies, the people that travel a lot. Mm. They have those striped plastic bags. He had a huge one of those, and it had his drums and his sax and everything in it. And as he described it himself, he came to this tent expecting to be a fabulous gig, and he saw two people and a dog. And I was in the front sitting in the front. The cheese buzz on the fence.
It was completely empty.
Playing away, waiting for him to
And, well, it's funnier, actually, if you have to explain this. Neil didn't make the previous tour in 2002, and that was a fantastic tour, as we know from the show we did for you before. But this tour was not quite as great, but we had built up the earlier tour, so here he...
He had regretted very much that he hadn't been able to, for family reasons, come on the previous tour, which was a fabulous, fabulous tour. We, you know, we did so many great things, and one of his heroes... His saxophone heroes. We'd met him. We'd played with him. We'd danced with him in the Faroe Islands. And he was like, oh, no, I missed out. You know, meeting this chap, you know, this Chico.
Yeah, John Chico.
So he's determined to come on this UK tour. And, of course, he finally arrived and it was like,
Empty, disastrous. You had to be there, but it's very funny.
And he's got a great dry sense of humor, so of course his description of his arrival was always funny.
So here we go. Now we should now move on to the next tour that we were going to talk about.
Was that
the one that on the way home we? No, that was not the Prague. No, that was not that one. That was
so now we're going to go to 2005.
The next year.
And the following year we went to...
Back to London again.
Back to London again. But we also, first of all, went to Antwerp. And we'd got there via Nuremberg. I can't remember why.
Yes, we went to Nuremberg just to visit, because we had played there 3 years earlier.
Our first gig of that tour was, again, a big street performance festival, the biggest one in the world. And we got into that because we had a friend who was a contact who used to go there. He is a street performer. And so it was in Linz in Austria.
Summer, right. I hope.
And it was summer. It was huge. It was like hundreds of
festival,
performers.
Meaning the performers were street performers, the kinds that, you know, the mimes and all of these types of performers.
Amazing.
That you often busk
acts.
As well. But
amazing acts. Some were even theatrical acts. There was one Spanish company, they were dancers, and they did...
Barcelona.
It did this fabulous show
where they
all went into a pool. They did it beside a huge swimming pool. And it's once, and they were walking around with umbrellas and things. And
I remember their name. They were called La Fabrica, the factory.
It was fantastic. Yes. We saw all these other great acts. We saw a New Zealand woman who was an aerialist.
Yeah.
I remember her. She got to the top of her, you know, she got onto a sort of swing.
Where did they put it in the street?
All around the square. Well, there's a central square in the town, a huge square. That it runs for maybe, I don't know, half a kilometer or something. It's
so you don't have cars coming.
Right, no cars. No. All around the square are people that perform.
And
the streets have,
you know, there's little performance areas everywhere. It's all very, very well organized.
That's in Linz,
absolutely marvelous.
Right.
So we went from Linz through Nuremberg.
By train,
because we'd played in Nuremberg in 2002, and we had a friend there now. A friend we could stay with, an artist who we'd been stayed in touch with. So we stayed, and we sort of slept in her kind of loft place. Some people were on the floor, some were, you know, on the sofas. We five people. There's a lot of people to put up.
So you weren't at the Ritz?
No, we weren't at the Ritz. So that was in Nuremberg. And then we went the train to Antwerp. We arrived in Brussels, and then we took a further train to Antwerp.
Right.
And in Antwerp, we were... greeted and picked up at the station by the people that run the entertainment for the Antwerp City Council. It's a huge, they have wonderful, a wonderful entertainment program, arts, and, you know, they're really into their arts program.
It's called Summer in Antwerp, the festival.
And the festival we played in, it's called...
Summer in Antwerp.
Part of it is to go... It's not an actual festival over the city. It's called Summer in Antwerp, but what it is it's a program that they have, the city council has, where they bring entertainment to people who don't have the income to go to concerts themselves. So there's all these concerts and things happening all over, but these people might not be able to get there because whatever they... So they bring them a free show. And they come with a huge, 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 huge truck. They bring the bands separately in a van. And then the truck has the PA in it, you know what that is. And it has tables and chairs. So it has a sound system, the tables and the chairs, little tents that they set up. So they bring all these things off the truck, and then they set up around whatever park the people might have around these sort of council estates, and they, you know, set all these things up. So then now they've got this performance area. Then we, the band, who have previously come in a van, we then go on the stage and we perform. The side of the truck becomes a stage.
Yeah, it's a great thing.
It's a brilliant organization.
And do we have anything like that in Auckland?
No. Do you think we should have? We should have. It's a brilliant idea.
They do in New York City. I remember, I think that's where they originally got the idea. I remember very many years ago when I still was living in New York, we would play on trucks in poor neighborhoods. So I think they got the idea.
We once did it in Bannockburn. We played on a truck and down in the South Island beside the guy that hired it.
So would you call yourselves the truckers?
Yes, the truckers.
So this was the Antwerp one. It was 5 days in a row, one time. Each day in a different
park. Each day we went to a different...
And did they put you up?
Oh, yes.
A different estate, you know, thing. A different, you know, council estate or projects, as they call them in New York.
So, like, one neighborhood, one park was mostly African people, another one had young gypsy community, another one with Jewish people,
They're on the outskirts of Antwerp, you understand?
Different council housing. So these are sort of council... buildings.
Yes, council housing estates.
Like our state housing or pension
housing.
Yes, exactly. Something like that. Exactly. Yeah. And so the local park would be where we would do it. And that was a great tour.
And did people come? Did they show appreciation?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah, and then they'd hang around the band and they'd try and come and talk to us. And so there was...
So do you speak Dutch?
No.
Oh, actually, no. They could all speak some English.
The Europeans are really quite good, especially the Scandinavians and the Dutch seem to speak half a dozen languages.
Now, Antwerp is in the eastern part of Belgium. And, of course, Belgium is bilingual, French and...
Well, they speak Flemish.
So we tried speaking French a couple of times, but that part of Belgium, they really, it's closer to Holland, and they didn't really want to talk French.
They're the ones that want to speak
Whereas Brussels,
Flemish.
It's more French.
No, they're the Flemish ones, yes.
Flemish is very close to Dutch.
Mm. Yeah, it's almost the same.
And they would have a little food and drink, you know, kiosk and so on. They would all have come out of the truck, everything.
It was amazing.
It was great.
Yeah.
Anyway, so moving on. That was that tour. At the end of that tour, because we went over to London as well, and again we played at the Spitz and do, you know, all that stuff that we do in London. And we went on the way home. I can't remember what other places we went to, but we definitely went to Prague on the way home.
We'd
found someone on the internet who had a klezmer band in Prague, and so he arranged for a gig that we would play opposite them. They were on first, and then the Jews Brothers band played. And it was in a pub. It was in this big pub in the north of Prague.
It was really good.
And he invited us to his place for dinner.
We can't remember the name of the band, but it
was a great time. If you're listening to this broadcast, please get in touch with us and let us know your name of the band. I've got it written down at home somewhere in my archives.
Did you compare your music with each other, or?
Well, of course, you know.
Play each other's tunes or something?
Well, no, you listen very carefully. Is it anything like our music or totally different? Blah blah blah. They were playing more strict klezmer. Actually, we're not at all the Jews Brothers band. We have described ourselves as klezmer, but we're not really a strict klezmer band.
You're a mixture.
But when we play the weddings and bar mitzvahs, of course, we then play the Jewish dance medleys, and so we become more pure klezmer at that point. Yes.
Start off with
we do a medley.
It's about 10 minutes when we do the whole thing. It keeps modulating up, you know, up to another key, so it gets more and gets faster and faster.
And more and more frantic.
So at the end we do the Chusin Kala Mazel Tov.
Yep,
you know,
that's
song.
True.
So we do establish our credentials by playing that first. And in our tours in Europe, we always did that.
Yeah. So,
moving on to the next tour.
Okay. Just to make sure, we've got 10 minutes that includes music, so we do want to play another one of our tracks before we go out.
So we're going to go to Spain.
Okay.
The
Spanish tour, that was great.
So 2009.
So your next track is the Spanish medley?
No, the next track is going to be, at the end, we're going to play a song about our touring around New Zealand. We're going to finish with that.
What happened to Spain?
We're going to tell you about Spain now.
Okay, tell us about Spain. You learned to do a gypsy dance.
It was our first, it was Herschel's and my very first close encounter with flamenco was Seville. We didn't play in Seville, but we went there afterwards. So we continued our Spanish experience after our tour. But our tour, we actually only played
Two places,
but we were so well
not
looked after.
Not such a bullfight.
No. We were so well looked after by the people, the agency that had brought us over, and they even provided a tour
manager
who drove the van that they provided. And when we arrived at Madrid Airport, we were looking for him, and he was just sitting in a corridor on the floor. He had this long hair, and we were walking along. And as we walked past, he went, "Jewish brothers, man, but I can't do it with a Spanish accent."
He was
a very cool guy. Manuel.
Manuel, great guy. Yes. So we first flew to the north. West of Spain, to a place called Santiago de Compostela. It's a famous cathedral there. And we played there. And that was a festival, a lot of young people. It was really good.
In a cathedral?
No, we didn't play in the cathedral, but it's the reason I mentioned that it's the very famous cathedral that...
it's at the end of El Camino, the walk that people do, the pilgrimage.
Yeah. It's well known. People walk from France all the way across Spain. Yeah.
The famous medieval pilgrimage, which has continued to modern times. So we were very lucky because when we arrived there and we went to the cathedral, they were that day doing what they don't always do it, but they were doing the special ceremony where the pilgrims that have done this long walk are sort of cleansed and
They swing a huge incense burner all through the cathedral. It's unbelievable.
Because in the old days they would be quite sweaty at the end, so they have this huge incense burner. It's
so
huge.
Five
monks in brown robes pull down, and then they get lifted up. This mechanism that makes this huge—it's
tied
metal
by pulleys to the top of the cathedral, so it's swinging all the way through the what is it? The arch,
the entire nave
is that of the cathedral.
Transept.
It's incredible.
And so, of course, the Jews Brothers Band, being the way we are, we didn't sort of stay in the congregation watching this. We were around the side little steps and going up in these nooks and crannies and finding amazing things. So we were at the back looking down over everybody. Nobody knew we were up there.
We kept laughing, thinking, well, what if they saw this Jewish band sort of hiding away in the cathedral watching pilgrims? We thought it would be kind of... It was like a rehash of the Inquisition or something.
The ceremony is called the Butta Fumura, which means...
Butta Fumero.
Fumera, throwing
thingy.
The smoke.
Yeah,
and it's an amazing thing to do, if you ever get a chance to see it.
We then went all across Spain. Well, we actually flew back to Madrid and then drove from
Madrid. With our wonderful Manuel at the wheel.
Eating snails all the way back.
Using things like local snail. Oh, this is a local delicacy. You'll love it.
Being a vegetarian, I wasn't too happy. But anyway, we went all the way to the somewhat south and east coast, near the east coast, up in a place called Murcia. M-U-R-C-I-A, a medium-sized town. And they had a festival there that they called the Festival of Tres Culturas, Three Culture Festival, to celebrate the history of Spain, the Christianity, Muslim, and Judaism. Those three were the traditional cultures in Spain for centuries, actually. So they have several of these tres culturas around Spain. But we played in the Murcia one, and that was a lovely festival. In other words, they had groups playing from different countries all over the world, representative of these different religious or ethnic religious groups. And it was very good. It was great. So you have anything you want about Murcia you want to add? So it was excellent. And then we went back to Madrid.
Well, they had a huge square in Murcia, which is marvelous. They put a lot of things on in the square itself.
Yeah, it was good.
And there was a whole symphony orchestra playing the first night. We couldn't believe it. We went out and there was all these little white chairs set up for the people to sit. Hundreds and hundreds of chairs. And then the stage, So, of course, the European festival is so well organized and so they have such marvelous festivals there. It's part of the culture, yes.
Yeah, it's great. Now, we're getting close to the end of our show.
We're going to talk about Seville.
Seville, we went back. We then, Lynn and I, on our own steam, after the festival,
was Mikey Lira from Sydney, because our bass player couldn't come, and he'd come over from Sydney to play with us. And he's a Chilean Australian. And he wanted, because his parents were Chilean, he wanted to stay for the Spanish culture. So we stayed in Seville,
where we went to see the fantastic flamenco music and singing and dancing.
Yeah, we used to go to this place called the Carboneria, which is in the old part of Seville.
The old charcoal house.
It's free. We found out about this place. It was free. They have a free flamenco show every night, and the flamenco shows always have a singer, a dancer, a woman dancing, and a guitarist. Mm. And every night they have one of those, and they're always gypsies.
We went every night.
They're always gypsies, and it's free. So, and they had a piano in the front alcove room, and I played the piano, and we got a gig in Seville because of that, Herschel and I.
And that was great, and we could go on talking, but we've only got less than a minute left for the show.
Oh, the tour.
Yes, next week we want everybody to know in the Auckland area and the Coromandel Peninsula area, we're playing Thursday the 9th at the Steampunk Festival in Thames. The next night, Friday the 10th at Luke's Kitchen, that's near Matarangi. And Saturday night, we're in the Coromandel. For details, you can check our Facebook page. But Sunday, we're back in Auckland. We finish off at the Golden Dawn on Ponsonby Road at 6 p.m.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you, Joan.
The dynamic duo.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening. Don't forget to listen next Sunday at 10 past 10. And if you've missed this program, you can go to www.planetaudio.org.nz/Radio Shalom.
Shalom, everybody.
And we would like to thank most sincerely our sponsor, Nature Bee.
We're going to go out with, what tune is it?
Wacky Rhythm.
One of our tunes called Wacky Rhythm, the Jews Brothers Band.
Written by Herschel, and not saying that the flamenco was wacky, but it was a song about rhythm, and it was the flamenco rhythm that really seduced us.
Here we go.